In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing Luisa, the bread, the food of the divine will. And we're on page 10. In the middle of the page, volume 23, 1225, 1927. My daughter, when our divinity formed the creation. So here, Jesus is teaching us about creation. It's always, you know, interesting to hear the scientists talk about creation. Well, it happened this way, it happened that way. And, you know, even evolution, it's... You know, we believe we came from slime. And it's like, no, that's just to say God wasn't in charge. That it just happened haphazardly. And the wonderful thing about this gift of the divine will, Jesus is teaching us what he showed Adam. And so he says, when our divinity formed the creation, it placed the divine will as raw material in all things. So, as God said, fiat lux, he says the divine will was the beginning of the raw material in everything, in the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that exists. And it's important for us to, when we understand this, we thank God, we praise God, we love God, we glorify God, we worship God. And there are some in the science field that are atheists. They don't believe in God. So they don't want, you know, that praise, that glory, that love to our Creator for what He has done. It placed the divine will as raw material in all things. So all things had their shape. All things had their solidity, order, and beauty. So we see that God said fiat lux and everything began. When you listen to the scientists that have faith, they basically say, like with granite, the molecules in granite, whether it's at the bottom of the sea or at the top of a mountain, has a beginning from about scientifically they say it's a beginning that starts about 6,000 years ago. They all start at this one point. And how can that happen? And when God said fiat lux, everything came into existence. And he says there were seven epochs, you know, or six epochs. And the seventh day, if you want to say, it says God wanted to rest, but we have now entered the 7,000th year. And I mean, it's the 3,000 years, the third millennium, with 4,000 years before that. I mean, even in Advent, when you light the candles, each candle basically represents 1,000 years of waiting for Jesus, 1,000 years of waiting for Jesus, and the fourth candle. And then we have Christmas, the Nativity. It's to help people understand. They waited this long for Jesus. Now it's been 2,000 years. We've now entered the 3,000th year. That's why John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of God. The glory of the church in the new springtime of mankind. What's coming is the glory of the church. And If you see what's happening, you know, in the church today, it's God purifying His church. He has to purify His church, scrub it clean. Why? The King is coming. The bridegroom has to get ready for the King, and this is why, even in our own families. People are going through some very difficult times because God is trying to get everything ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. It's such a beautiful thing that's coming to the earth. And what that is the order, the beauty, the solidity, the shape of everything in the divine will. And that's what God is waiting for. And he says, so therefore, everything that the soul does with this raw material of my most holy divine will. Okay, so he's showing us how to live. Everything that's happening with this great gift of the divine will, he says. Since a vital act flows within each thing, each animal, vegetable, and mineral, the divine will is—it's God who produced this beauty that's all around us. Since a vital act flows within it, receives from it the shape of beautiful works, all ordered, solid, with the imprint of divine life, of the divine fiat within each work. Do you see why, you know, the canticle of Daniel is so important? Sun and moon, praise the Lord. Nights and day, praise the Lord. Cold and chill, praise the Lord. What that is getting back to what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be in adoring God and loving God and praising God. And that's why the little children of the Holy Divine will spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We are beginning to witness who our God is, the love of God, that he would imprison himself in the tabernacle, imprison himself in each host, basically, until we receive it. Why? So that he can become our food. He can become our life. This is the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And as Catholics, we should be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, even for Sunday Mass, get there early. Don't get there at the last minute. Get there early. Why? To praise God and love God and glorify God and worship God and stay after communion. Jesus is still with you. The host hasn't dissolved yet, and Jesus is still with you. For 15 minutes, the host is within you, and it's dissolving. And this is the most beautiful time of the day. To talk to the Lord, to enter into this life that God wants us to possess. And so he says this, everything that the soul does, let's just think about that. Adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, going to Holy Mass early, leaving after 15 minutes at least. Why? Because you should be in deep prayer. Again, the Mass ends right after receiving communion. Why? The church does not want to interfere with your communion with God. And it's not a time just to, you know, wave your hand over your face and, you know, as you're blessing yourself. And then, you know, walking out with, you haven't even spent time with Jesus. What is it? To adore him and to love him and to praise him. So everything that the soul does with this raw material of my divine will, and now that's as Catholics, you know, with the Holy Eucharist. But now he says, I want you to see this with everything. I want you to see this with the sun, the moon, the stars. I want you to begin to experience a divine life. Receives from the divine will the shape of the beautiful works. This is divinely beautiful. All divinely ordered and solid, with the imprint of divine life or the divine fiat within each work that God has created. I mean, think about it. You know, in the fall, you know, all the leaves change color, they die. And, you know, and then the winter, no leaves on the tree. And then the spring, everything becomes alive again. And you know, Louisa talked about that to Jesus. She says, Jesus, I feel like I die every day. And Jesus says, yes, because I want you to be reborn at every instant. So what? Why? It's the reborn that's so beautiful. Spring is so beautiful. The world is filled from that pause of fall and winter, filled with flowers and everything's colorful. It really shows us the love of God, the light of God. And he says, that he wants us to participate in this. He wants us to be in his image and likeness, to do what God does. Okay? What does that mean? So he says this: on the other hand, the one who does not do my divine will and does not put the divine will as raw material in his works might do perhaps many things, but they're all disordered. They are without shape. They're without beauty. They're all scattered. You know, what comes to mind is modern art. You know, you look at the classical art and it's copying God. It's copying what God has done. It's like a photograph. And if you want to see a good movie, Tim's Vermeer. You begin to understand how Vermeer painted the way he painted. They said it looks like a photograph. How did he do this? How did he get this light in his image, in his painting? And it's a very wonderful movie. If you're into art, you're just amazed of the brilliance that God gave to Vermeer and to Tim to understand how to do this. It's so wonderful. So our God is looking at us, and he's asking us to enter into the divine will all around you. He says, but if you're not doing the will of God, that's becoming a saint. If you're not living in the divine will, you might be doing many things, but it's all disordered, without shape, without beauty, all scattered. You think of the Pollock, his paintings. He just sprayed paint on a canvas. Isn't this pretty? Isn't this wonderful? Oh, it says this and it says that, you know. It says, looks like somebody, you know, was painting and dropped paint all over the place. It's, you know, even music. People get to the point of playing music and then learning how to play, and then they go on their own, and it sounds disordered, without shape, without beauty, all scattered. And that such that he himself would not know how to make head or tail of them, of all that is out there. So what our God is saying is, he says, I want you to be like me, my image and likeness. That's why God created us. To be in God's image and likeness is so necessary. So what God is asking of us is, he's saying, would you be willing to do what I did, to learn how to do this, which is beautiful, ordered, solid. Everything in the fiat is beautiful. And a lot of art, I remember the paintings of Jesus and Mary for Christmas. You know, there was a period of time when it was seemed like the uglier the better, the more distorted the better, the more non-human the better. And and I thank God that we're not in that period of trying to make Jesus and Mary and Joseph disordered. And what God is looking, he's saying, I want you to begin to live in a way that reflects God, reflects beauty, reflects springtime. Again, that's what John Paul II said. John Paul II said, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. That was May 16th. 2004, at the canonization of St. Annibal de Francia. Get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. How great our God is. And it's not disorder. It's perfect order. It's perfect beauty. It's perfect song. You get some people who just scream. I mean, and they're singing and they're screaming, and it just hurts your ears because it's completely out of disorder. Singing isn't screaming. Singing isn't screaming. It's God gave us music, if you want to say, for something beautiful. That's why when you listen to Gregorian chant, it's healing. Gregorian chant is healing. I'm not talking about, you know, just the simple Gregorian chant, how beautiful that is. Jesus says, it would happen as if someone wanted to make bread without water. He might perhaps have much flour, but since the water is missing, the life to form the bread would be missing. I'm going to make bread, but I'm not going to use any water. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't make sense. You can't make bread without water. Entering into the divine will, what God is doing is He's putting perfect order back into your life. The addictions that you have, and everybody has addictions, become less and less. Why? Because God is reordering everything in your life because of, excuse me, because of what He is doing as Lord. He's putting everything back in order. You have to be free of all addictions to get into heaven. Addictions are disorder. And it can be anything. It could be addicted to food or addicted to television, addicted to exercise. I mean, that's why on Sunday, if you have an exercise routine, you should not exercise. That's for you. It should be for the glory of God. I will focus on Him today, not me. It's very, very important that Sunday is God's day. It's the holy day. And we have to, as Catholics, make sure that we keep holy the Sabbath. That means sports is not part of our life on Sunday. I'm sorry. Well, I live in a sports family. Well, why don't you live in a Catholic family? You know, it's a... Well, we have to. No, you don't have to. I mean, well, we don't. I don't. I love it when the women say, I don't have to cook today. We go out to dinner on Sunday. I have my day off. No, it's the Lord's day, number one. And by going out, you're making people work for you on Sunday. You keep holy the Sabbath. I mean, you have to really begin to start with the Sabbath, you know, and get there early for Mass. Stay 15 minutes later after Mass. Don't go into fellowship with everybody around you. Get into an intimacy with Jesus, talking to Him, adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, blessing Him. You just receive the Lord God Almighty. Get into contemplative prayer. You know, kneel and close your eyes. Adore Him. Jesus is trying to, you know, correct everything. We are in disorder. And He wants to perfect us. Why? He's returning. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. He is returning. He wants us to get ready for His return. Read Father Gobi's book. All throughout that, Our Lady keeps on saying, get ready for the return of my Son. Get ready. I mean, Jesus is he's our King. He's our God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. Do you miss Him? Do you know about Him? Do you know Him? I mean, a lot of people complain about their life. And, you know, why would God allow this? Why would they? And the reason is they've never contemplated God. They've never knelt and focused on Christ crucified, looking at Him, Christ crucified, not the risen Christ. Christ crucified. This is what He did for you, and He knows how tough life is, so He gave us the sacraments and the sacramentals. You know, how many hours have you spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament, without reading, but looking at Jesus and the monstrance, falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. When we begin to be in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we begin to realize how much we don't love Him. We love ourself. We love our human will. And so Jesus says this, someone else might have the stones in order to build, but does not have the lime that unites the cement and the stones together. So he would have a disordered stones, but never a house. Jesus is teaching us. The Baltimore Catechism is gone. And that's what I grew up on, the Baltimore Catechism, you know, memorizing as a kid. The sisters would teach us, and we would learn. And if you didn't, you got a ruler. I remember one of the kids in my class, he was always in trouble. Smart aleck kid. And the teacher hit him over the head with a yardstick, and the yardstick broke. And then he started laughing, and I went, oh, wrong thing to do. Don't laugh. it was really hilarious. But, I mean, looking back at it, there was discipline. There was, I'm telling to, you know, break a rule over somebody's head. But there was order, and all that's gone. They threw it all out. They, when the sexual revolution happened in the 60s, everything was tossed out. We don't need this anymore. So from the 60s until Louisa, really, we got the writings of Louisa in English and everything in 2005. So from the 60s, you know, again, 40 years later, a lost generation. The grandparents that are today were the hippies of the 60s. They have nothing to give to their children. And their children really have nothing to give to the grandchildren of these hippies of the 60s. Why do you think we're in this situation where everything is falling apart? God is missing. So what God has done in his wisdom is he's given us the book of heaven. As you read the book of heaven, God is going to say to us, teach us how to begin to live a Catholic life. And it's Jesus that's teaching. And that's exactly what he said. He's going to teach us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. And that's what Jesus promised Louisa. When you read the divine will, Jesus says, I will stand right beside you to touch your mind, so that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart so that you will love it. That's why go to your room, close the door, and pray. What does that mean? Read the volumes. Be alone with Jesus. Read the volumes. You could be in church, you know, waiting for the Mass and having Jesus teach you by reading. Well, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the monstrance, read a little bit. Read a sentence and then look at Jesus and be in awe of him, of what he is doing. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. He's putting everything in order, and he really needs us to begin to listen. Such are the works without the raw materials of my most holy divine will. They only occupy space. They cause bother, annoyance, and if they do any good at all, it is superficial. If they are touched, they are found to be fragile and empty of any good. What the Lord wants us to know is that he has everything planned. He has everything perfectly balanced, perfectly ordered. It's not chaos. It's not confusing. It's perfect. In all ways, shapes, and forms. And so he's saying to us, I want you to enter into this beautiful life, this perfect life, you know, where you're not, he says, where we're living today, our heads are on the ground, our feet are in the air. It's complete disorder. It's upside down. It's backwards. It doesn't work. So he's asking us, are you willing to allow me to teach you? Are you willing to allow me, the Lord God Almighty, to lead you, guide you, so that you can begin to live the life that the Lord God Almighty gave to us? Not disordered, not in sin, without worry, without fear, without anxiety, without complaints, without negativity, without sin. Are you willing to begin to live this life? And when we say yes, he goes, okay, you got to get rid of a few things for this to happen. These are our addictions. You got to get rid of this. You got to get rid of that. You got to become ordered. Okay? You know, like I was talking about the 50s, you know, the early 60s, there was disorder. Forcing people who didn't want who didn't want order, like the wild guy in my class, he didn't want order. You know, it's really funny. I met him a couple of years ago at a funeral, and I looked at him. You know, he was wild. He was wild. And I said, what are you doing? He says, well, I work for the church. I said, what do you do? He says, well, I'm a sacristan. And I'm going, what the nuns taught us was to be with Jesus. And he learned that. His happiness was being a sacristan. That's just astonishing. Here's the wild man is kneeling in front of God. See, God has plans for all of us. He says he doesn't want to lose one of us. So he's looking at us and he's saying, I've given you this time with the book of heaven so that you can get closer to me, the Lord God Almighty. So he says, basically, he doesn't want us to be fragile, empty, and without any good. He wants us to be in his image and likeness as he originally planned. Volume 24, 4:6, 1928. So shall I do to form the kingdom by divine will as God. I, God, shall start from the first lessons that I, God, have given you, Louisa. So what is he saying to us? As I to form the kingdom of my most holy divine will, I'm going to start from the first lessons of the book of heaven. He's teaching us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. That I, Jesus, have given to you. I've said this before. If you have the book of heaven, Jesus Christ has given you this book. I don't care what human gave it to you. Jesus Christ planned this from the beginning of time. That you have the book of heaven so that he can teach you. He's got great things in store. He says this, the lessons that I have given you, and this is why I, God, want that they begin to be known. So all the truths, all the promises, all the lessons, Jesus says, I want them to be known. By whom? By those who have the book of heaven. Your family doesn't want the book of heaven. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. Nobody wants this. It's the gift of gifts. Nobody wants it. How can that be? Jesus is alone in the tabernacle in every Catholic church. Who's there? A community with 30,000 people. Who's there? He's alone, basically. There are a few people, few generous souls that will spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, the prisoner of love. But basically, he's alone. At night when they close the doors and lock them, he's alone. At least 12 hours of the day, nobody's there. In most parishes, most churches. Why do you think they're closing? Jesus said this to Louisa. When the churches close, it's not the bishops, it's not the priests. It's I'm closing them, Jesus says. I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of waiting for souls to come. So I'll close those churches. And that's what's happening all over. As a matter of fact, there's more mosques in Germany than churches. You know, England, France, Italy, Spain. Even in the United States, I know some priests that have seven parishes. Two priests with seven parishes. You know, when I was in a parish and we had a mission church, that was exhausting. You had to drive every other Sunday to the other parish. You know, the pastor was in charge of one and I had the other, and we switched back and forth. It was exhausting. Can you imagine seven? The Lord has great, great plans. He says, I want these truths to be known. I want these lessons to be known. I want these promises to be known. He says, that they make their way, preparing and disposing souls. So that's us. So that little by little, and that's our great hope. Our great hope is little by little, they may learn to listen to Jesus speaking to you, to more lessons, in view of the great good that they have received from the first ones. I know some people that say, well, I don't have to read volume 1 through volume 10. That's just becoming a divine mirror, how to become a saint. And I want to learn how to live in the divine will. If you haven't learned how to become a saint, volume 1 through volume 10, you're not going to be able to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not. Jesus says it right here. I shall start from the first lessons. Volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror. Then the second group of lessons, volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third lessons, which nobody had until they were taken out of the Vatican in 1996, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. You see what God is doing? He's teaching us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. These lessons are the great good that we have received from God Himself. When we were at the closing, we were at the beginning of the cause in 1994, not the closing of the cause in 2005. And then this gift is just the beginning of the Holy Church. And what I mean by the beginning, it's the new era. It's what John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. The priests that are reading this, the bishops that are reading this, are astonished by what Jesus is saying. He's saying... what's coming is a new beginning for mankind. But it's really not new, because this is what God gave to Adam, and Adam lost it. So God is preparing and disposing our souls little by little to learn to listen to Jesus, to the more lessons, the more truths, the more promises, in view of the great good that we have received. So he said, here's Jesus. He's such a good God. This is why I prepared the lesson so long about my divine will. 64 years he taught Louisa. Once Louisa began to possess this understanding after 64 years, Archbishop Bucheri said it was 70 years. What happens at that point? The world is changing. Why do you think there's protests in England, in France, in Germany, in Spain, in Hong Kong? Why do you think there's all these protests in the United States? It's because the kingdom's coming. A new beginning is happening. People sense it. People, and Jesus says that, they sense something great is coming. They don't... Sorry. Sorry. They don't know what it is, but they know something great is coming. This is why I prepare the lesson so long with my divine will, because it encloses the primary purpose for which Adam was created, as well as all the things that the very life that mankind must carry out in the divine will. See, we're going to live the way God originally planned. The time of the evil one is over. And he's going to try desperately, to do as much as he can to destroy as much as he can. That's what's happening in your families. You have to understand, the devil thinks he's going to win. Your prayer in the divine will is very powerful. What God is going to give to you, he's been planning for 6,000 years. And now he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, it must be carried out. Must be carried out. You know, it's that must is very important. That's not a hope. That's a certitude. This must happen. When Joseph and Mary found Jesus in the temple after 3 days, he says, didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? It's what God is all about. This must happen for us. The very life that we must carry out in God's most holy divine will. It's not about money. It's not about power. It's not about prestige. It's not about anything but God. We're here on earth. Why are we here on earth? It's to get ready for the kingdom. To prove to God that this is what we want more than anything. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, those that are away from God, a lot of them are away from God. It's basically a fact. Have the consequences of that. And that's where worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin enter in. With God, it's peace, joy, and happiness. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants to bring us back to that. So without my most holy divine will, it is as if mankind did not have true life, but a life almost foreign to him. That's where your friends are. That's where your neighbors are. They have a life that's almost foreign to them. We're not supposed to live in misery. In sin. And therefore full of dangers and of happinesses, of miseries. That's the life of sin. Dangers and unhappinesses and of miseries. Poor man, what the life of my most holy divine will. It would be better for him if he had never been born. Who did he say that to? Of. He said that of Judas. It would be better if he never had been born. He's saying that when you're away from God, you've begun hell. You've begun a life of hell. And that's where you're pointing to God, where you want to go. But to his great misfortune, he does not even know his true life, because until now there has been no one who has broken the true bread of its knowledges as to form pure blood and allows the true life to grow in that creature. Nobody has done this yet. But now it's here with the book of heaven. No one has broken the true bread of the divine will, of the knowledges of the divine will, to form the pure blood of the divine will that allows the true life of the divine will to grow in us. They have broken for him a stale, medicated bread, as if it had not made him die, has not let him grow healthy, vigorous, and strong, of a divine strength, as the bread of my most holy divine will makes one grow. Louisa talks about this in the third appeal. She says to the priests, "You give a stale and hard bread that is hard to digest, and people don't listen to you." He says, Jesus, through Louisa, says, you have to eat this bread You have to be nourished on this bread so that you can give it to the people. That's why, you know, I hear again and again lay people teaching the divine will. God bless you. But that's not how God did it. It's the bread. It's the first bread. And as Father Bucci says, for a lay person to get up at the altar and say, this is my body with the second bread, it's foolishness. It doesn't mean anything. There's no consecration. Jesus tells Louisa, and Father Bucci shows this very clearly, that it's the priests, the bishops, the deacons that have to give this bread out. And when a lay person does it, they Protestantize the divine will. I don't care how nice it sounds, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And again, that's where the humility comes in. Nobody's teaching the divine will. There's no priest, so I will teach it. That's a little pride there, I would say. My divine will is life that has the virtue of giving divine life. It is divine light that dispels darkness. It is immense and takes man from all sides to give him divine strength, divine happiness, divine sanctity in such a way that everything is safe around him. Why? Paradise is around him. And do you know what the treasures of grace these knowledges conceal? Listen to what Jesus says. The good that they shall bring to the creatures. This is why you do not have interest that they begin to make their way to give start to forming the kingdom of my divine will. The book of heaven is everything. The book of heaven is everything. It begins everything. Why? Because Jesus says, this divine will that you learn, these truths that you learn, these promises that you learn, these lessons that you learn from Jesus Christ himself, he says, takes everyone from all sides. It's like a flood with divine strength, divine happiness, divine sanctity. Everything is safe around you. Everything is paradise around you. You begin to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God as Adam did in paradise. You have to understand, this is so amazing. Ah, you do not know what treasures of grace these knowledges conceal. Who's he talking to? He's talking to us who have the book of heaven that don't spend time every day reading. You don't understand what the treasures you have that these knowledges conceal. What good these knowledges, these treasures of grace bring to you. It's changing you as you read. This is why you do not have the interest in reading, in studying, and putting this into practice. That's all he's asking. I'm giving you everything if you read. If you read, and now you can have it 30, 60, or 100 fold. Whatever you want, I will give you. Say you read 10 minutes a day or 10 minutes a week. I'll give you that. I'll give you that amount of grace that you're receiving. I'll fill you with that amount. That's all you want. Why? Oh, you have other things to do. You have sports on Sundays to do. I sit in front of the couch, sit in front of the idiot box, as they say, the hypnotic eye of death, and you stare at it for 4 or 5 hours. That's really keeping holy the Sabbath, isn't it? No, you don't understand. It's my team. You don't know the treasures that these knowledges conceal. The great good that they're going to bring to you. This is why you have no interest in reading. Because they begin to make their way to give, to start the forming of my kingdom, divine will in you. If you just say fiat. If you just say yes, watch what God will do. He's got plans. And you're in them. Look at my wild friend in grammar school. He was wild. And what happened? He basically ended up right where God wanted him to be, in front of him. How glorious. God has given you the book of heaven. Go to your room, close the door, and read. Let Jesus speak to you. Let Jesus teach you. Let Jesus guide you. Let Jesus fill you with these divine truths, which he says are starting to form the kingdom of God within you. We'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.